Are you ready?
Good.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. All right. Thank yous first. So thank you again, Kharas Tov to the Fine, for hosting. We appreciate it. Again, the shiur tonight is sponsored in memory of Amy Dorovich's grandmother. Is that correct?
Yes.
Which is, her yahrzeit is when? I don't remember when.
Recently.
Okay.
Tonight.
Is
it? I don't think it's probably already, but not long ago.
Okay. The name is again Miriam Bas Tzvi Hirsch, is that right?
That's right.
Got
that's
it. Okay. Right. Miriam Bas Tzvi Hirsch.
Rero.
Should be Le'ilui Nishmasa. Okay. So we are going to finish something we were in the middle of discussing last time, 2 weeks ago. The discussion 2 weeks ago was mainly focused around the question of deductions of Maaser. Basically, we had divided up Maaser Kesafim into three parts when we started this 3 weeks ago, whatever it was. Part number one was basically the question of who is Chayav and Maaser and what type of money that you earn is Chayav and Maaser. That was question number one. We dealt with all the different cases of money that you get in whatever way, and salary money and all sorts of other things. Part number two was which things can you deduct, which expenses can you deduct from your Maaser Cheshbon, and we discussed a number of different cases of things that you can and cannot deduct from your Maaser Cheshbon. And I guess we could just go over very quickly on the sheet here. If anybody has the sheet, I have a few more of these. If you just want to review this, we'll do a little review quickly. If anybody wants to look at it, there's a few more copies over here on this side. So the second section, again, this is thanks to Debbie Inker, so it's his wife. So the middle section of where it says less deductions. So obviously we discussed a number of these issues, and just to review, so we mentioned taxes withheld, taxes that the government takes off before you even get your salary are not included in your Maaser Cheshbon, those are deducted. Kupat Gemel and Pituach Min HaHalim contributions, all sorts of all those kinds of things that are taken off already by the government before you even see your paycheck are generally speaking deducted from Maaser. All work expenses are deducted from Maaser. Again, we detailed them 2 weeks ago, including transportation. Anything else, which includes, we mentioned, babysitting and other kinds of expenses like that, which are for the purpose of work, travel expenses for the purpose of work, other things that you need for work. Generally speaking, the rule is that you generally can deduct them. Those are all included in your work, and therefore you do not have to count that as things that are chayav and maaser.
It includes gas.
Second?
Transportation includes gas?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Wow. Definitely does. Anything that you spend, any money that you spend, assuming that you don't have a company car. If you have a company car and they're paying for your gas, then you can't deduct that money.
No, but if you have to pay a portion of your salary, they sometimes deduct like 750 shekel
right.
for gas.
Right.
Can you then...
Yeah. L'chori, yes. Meaning l'chori, anything...
Up to 750 shekel then, I guess.
Yeah, meaning anything that... Well, anything that you would... Anything that they take off for work-related expenses, you don't have to count that amount of money in your Maaser calculations. You can start your Maaser, however much you're making, as being below that amount. Right.
Okay. Yeah.
Right.
That makes sense. Right.
If you're making, we said here $10,000, and then that's your transportation to work is, 10,000 shekel and is 1,000. So even if that 1,000 is basically getting deducted from your salary,
right.
Rather than getting paid, it's getting deducted.
Right.
So that part that definitely can be deducted from your calculation for Maaser. And you'll start your salary count as, below that minus that amount.
Oh, so you're okay.
You might be thinking of a different case, which we also discussed previously, which I don't want to get into too much now.
Go.
Okay. Good. We said items that were not deductible. Generally speaking, we said that mortgage, again, we discussed this in detail. We're not going to get back to that now, but generally speaking, mortgage payments are probably not deductible. Regular household expenses, generally speaking, are not deductible. That's according to the majority of poskim that say that anything that you have to pay for that is that you get something in return, generally speaking, is not included. Is not deductible from your Maaser payments, and you would have to take Maaser from your salary, even though some of it is spent on food expenses and house, et cetera, et cetera. The last part that I just wanted to mention now, this is very, very relevant, I guess, for many of us, that is the Shita, the minority opinion of that question of regular household expenses, and that is, generally speaking, espoused by the Tzitz Eliezer. This is in source number 11 on the previous source sheet, which some of you may have. I don't think I have any more copies, so you'll have to share. A very, very important shuva. The Tzitz Eliezer says as follows. Let's read inside, and we'll get the background for this whole thing. He says, "Davar sveiko hu ala dos maser ksafim me hareva." The question, and by the way, the Tzitz Eliezer was Eliezer Waldenberg, that's how. Okay, he was the Rav in Shaarei Tzedek for many, many years. Very, very important talmid chacham to know. Very, very many, many tshuvas that he wrote, 21 volumes, I think, of tshuvas called Tzitz Eliezer that he has. So this question was about maser. Maser ksof me'arevach. How much maser do you take from your salary? Be'ezo derech yeshlaf risho, and how should you separate it? And here he says as follows. Ki b'kitzer shulchan arach hilchotz tzedakah kasu b'lashon. B'kitzer shulchan arach writes the following. Yitein maser min harevach. You should take maser from the salary, from your extra money that you have. She'herviach kol shana, that you made that whole year. Chutz mitzarche beso, except for the amount of money of your household expenses. Now that, of course, seems to imply that you can take off, you can deduct all of your household expenses from your maser count, which is not what you've been saying until now. Then he quotes, "V'il baruch hashulchan yoradeyasun reish mentes kasuv lehebech da'aval hotzas beso lo yinake." The Baruch Hashulchan writes that you cannot, and we saw this 2 weeks ago inside on the source sheet, that he says the household expenses you cannot deduct. That's considered to be things that you need. You need food, you need this, you need that. You get something in return for it, and therefore you cannot deduct that. So what do you do? So the person who asked the question, he wants to know, basically, this is very important to him. Nafsho b'sheila, so his soul literally is in his question, and he needs to know the answer. It's dachu for him. And the implications are very, very great. What is the halacha? If you hold like the kitzur shulchan aruch, you can deduct household expenses. Yesh oladas mani kratzorche beso. What is counted as household expenses? Right. Good question. Eshar baharvacha o b'matzun. Can you count that as an expanded version of household expenses, or a more limited version of household expenses? So let's see. He says v'hinei amnam v'shut avkas rochel simon gimel. Kasuv hara b'zeh b'zeh l'shon. He says the Avkas Rochel, which is the tshuva written by the Beis Yosef, by Rav Yosef Karo, known as the Avkas Rochel. So he writes the following: Achar she'efrish me'akeren. After you've separated your amount of maser from the keren, from the base amount of money that you're making, yistacher. The base amount that you start with, yistacher b'mosav. Then you're going to basically be doing business with your money. He says every half a year you should make your cheshbon. And then see how much more you have made from your base amount, how much more money have you made during the year. After you have literally scattered, after you have excluded the things that you need for your house. What does that sound like? Which opinion does that sound like? Sounds like the kitzur shulchan aruch, right? Zehu, he says, kidasa kitzur shulchan aruch. That you can take away, you can deduct the amounts of money of your household expenses first. He says it stands to reason that the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch himself, where did he make this up from, that you can take away your household expenses? Generally speaking, that's not something that that we generally would have said, but he says that probably the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch got it from the Avkas Rochel. We also find from the Sefer called the Knesset HaGadola, one of the Sfardi Mefarshim, who writes in his Sefer, Shiurei Knesset HaGadola in Yoradeya, etc. Shemevi Gamken Shuvazos, who also quotes this Shuva, Haksuva Avkas Rochel Lahalacha. He quotes the Shuva from the Avkas Rochel Lahalacha Lamaisa. Ach Eina Mechasa La Beis Yosef, but he doesn't attribute it to the Beis Yosef. Geim HaRav Matzis Yahu Troyash, another Rav, who obviously was an important Rav, but not quite the stature of the Shulchan Aruch of Maran, as they call him in the Sephardi world. Say, so what do we do with this now? So he says, maybe you could say that we should pass in the way lahalacha. If the Knesset HaGadola quotes it, it's quoted in a tshuva on the Beis Yosef, so maybe we should pass in that way. Afterwards, he basically, he goes through all the sources, and he quotes that most of the Makaros that we saw previously, we discussed, do not say this. Most of them do not seem to go in this direction. But basically, he ends up saying that it's a standoff. It's really it's a solid two sides here, and he thinks that there is what to say to argue this side, to say that basically maser should only be taken after you've taken all the regular expenses that you need to live. You need to live in a house, right? You need to have food. So of course, that's you have to have that. You have no choice. So why should you be obligated to take maser from that money that you're paying for your food? He thinks that's a legitimate side. So let's see how he continues here. Basically, he says that he thinks that there's room to be megil, like the opinion of the Knesset HaGadola, especially because maser is a minhag rather than a halacha. Let's continue inside. And I cut out some of the tshuva here because it was too long. That was in the ... there. Let's continue. Concerning his second question, what can you include as your household expenses? So he says people that take off maser from their salary, That the Avkas Rochel holds, you can take that, you can deduct that from your Maaser account. We can also derive the answer to his second question. What is considered to be his Tzorchei Beiso? Basically, the language that's used in the Avkas Rochel, the actual tshuva inside, is everything after you've taken off your expenses for eating and drinking, for clothing, and other things that you need for your house. Umash v'mihachlish. Now, the tzitzel leader says it seems from there to ein chishuv katzuv ba el yachol hotzi mikodem l'tzorichei beiso mikol advar matzrich l'mpizor. Basically, it sounds like there's no absolute amount. It sounds like anything that you need for your house is included. Hein ma'achilush siya ulevush. Hein yeser hotzos habayis. Anything which is considered to be, in that society, a normal household expense is permitted to be deducted according to the Tzitzel Eliezer. Again, we don't have time to get into detail now for exactly what this includes. But generally speaking, the basic requirements, I didn't write it on the sheet here, but basically the basic household expenses that everybody, every single person has, what would that be? So we mentioned either rent or mortgage payments according to this opinion, food, let's say phone bill, maybe electricity, again, assuming you have a normal amount of electricity used, all the standard kinds of things that are household expenses that you need in order to live in a house or apartment, as the case may be. All those things are able to be excluded from your Maaser amount. Say again?
You end up with a negative number there, you money?
That is a...
The guy comes to the door.
Right, it says, give me my money, right? You will be putter from Maaser then. Okay, we discussed this also last time. We'll come back to it again later in tonight's shiur, or if we don't get to it tonight, then next time. But absolutely, if you're already negative then you should not be giving Maaser. You can give tzedakah. We talked about tzedakah. You can give a little tzedakah to whatever you want. But in terms of your 10% of Maaser, you should be spending your Maaser on your own family. Car could be a question. I'm not sure about car. It depends on every society is different. If a car in America, certainly. According to the Tzitzel Eliezer, in America, everybody has a car. Absolutely, you should be able to deduct a regular, you know, car expenses per month, per year. In Eretz Yisrael, certainly in communities like here, where most people, again, I can't include myself in this because our car is probably going to be sold very soon. Hasn't been working. And we can get by with that one most of the time. Though last week we traveled to a lot without a car, it was a little difficult. But we made it on the bus. Baruch Hashem. The kids had a good time. There might be room to say that you can include a car also, according to the Tzitzel Eliezer.
If it's for going to Eilat.
It's cheaper if it's going to Eilat. Why?
If it's for, you use the car for occasional journeys like that. Uh-huh. It's cheaper to take a cab or to rent a car for a small amount.
I understand. So we'll have this discussion another time. You're right. We thought about this. We might actually do that. We'll take a cab the next time. No. Rent a car.
What if you're used to a certain way of living, Kuzler, as you come to Eretz Yisrael?
100%. So that's a good question. I would say, again, I could see a debate about this, but I would say that it depends not on what your living standard was there, but what your living standard is here. Meaning, if you can make a living, again, we're talking about taking into account, understanding that, you know, people here make it on a lot less than they make it there. Okay, you have to, by definition, you have to have less here, whatever it means, a smaller house, smaller car, less, whatever, you know, whatever it is, that has to be taken into account. Once that's taken into account, though, I think that, you know, if you feel that you cannot go below a certain standard, then according to the Tzitzel Eliezer, that would definitely be included in his Hotzos Beiso. And that is often going to be determined by your surroundings. Okay, if you are, again, I'm not going to ask you any personal questions here, given this is your house, obviously. again, if you would, you know, estimate, let's say, you know, how much money you think you're spending on household expenses, and it's, you know, more or less roughly in the same ballpark as most other people, or at least people in our side of town, in Yad Vashem, then I think that that's actually legitimate. If, again, your approximate guess is that you're spending lots of, you know, double the amount that everybody else is, again, you have to figure out how to determine that, but if that would be the case, I would say that you have to rethink it a little bit.
I would assume it means like basic level.
Yeah, that's what I said.
That doesn't mean clothing that you want to buy the fancy
100%, 100%, 100%,
100%,
100%. I think that's what he means. Again, he doesn't specify exactly, but basically anything which is regular household expenses that most normal people in your place have.
That will include education.
So we'll have to get to that later. According to the Tzitz Eliezer, I think he would say, again, he doesn't discuss it here, but it does stand to reason that any education which is absolutely based that everybody does would be, in a chayim, would be deductible. Yeah.
Money you spend for various mitzvahs.
Good, so that's the next, that's tonight. That's
No, I put it to Sicilia.
Very possibly. I'm not sure if you would say that's deductible. I don't think that's considered to be a regular hotzas beso. Hotzas beso doesn't mean mitzvahs. Hotzas beso means regular expenses that you have of being in a household. You need to have light. You need to have a phone. You need to have electricity. Things like that.
I need to have filling.
Yes, but that's not. I don't think that's included in hotzas beso. That is a special. That's a mitzvah. Okay. We'll see later. Mitzvahs might be in their own category, which even according to the Sicilians are probably will not be included. Okay. Second.
Hotzas beso are included in those things you do that I would not.
No. So mortgage probably is according to the Tzitz Eliezer. Again, when we said last time or 2 weeks ago, we said according to most poskim, you cannot deduct that because most poskim cannot deduct household expenses, and that would be included. According to Rav Waldenberg here, who's basically poskening that you can, presumably that would be included as well. Okay, let's finish up this opinion here. He says at the end, the last paragraph, "V'me'atani misaken v'omer." Now I'm going to summarize and say, "V'me'achar that since the kavisha be'arti v'sifri shitzitzel yezer chelak tes das rov haposkim he." He thinks that most poskim hold the masak sofim eno elamin drabanan. That most people hold that it's only drabanan and not zoreis. V'harbi sofim da'od de'eno elamin haga. As we discussed a few weeks ago, many people hold that it's only even a minhag. It's not even drabanan. It's only a minhag. Take masak sofim lachein. Therefore, misha rotzel akabel alav. L'hafrish masar k'safim, those that want to accept upon themselves the wonderful mitzvah, minhag of masar k'safim, bivadai, he says, bivadai, certainly yachol. He certainly is able to, obviously. Aval yisnai kifi adeh l'hafrish ha-masar min ha-rebach l'achara utzol etzorche beso k'chol ma'ashe nitzrach. But he's also, if he takes upon himself to do masar k'safim, he definitely can, if he takes upon himself at the time that he's makal upon himself masar k'safim, or when he realizes what the status of Maser Ksofim is, he takes upon himself, I am taking upon myself Maser Ksofim with the intention of taking Maser from my money after I have deducted all my household expenses, and even without having to try to be tzamtzim to make a crunch, maybe anything which is considered to be a normal, regular, basic household expense without, crunching too much. And he says that is absolutely has fulfilled your mitzvah of Maser Ksofim. That is absolutely legitimate. But if you've already started to take Maser Ksofim and you've already included the cheshbon of your household expenses as well, the ka'es kasher noda l'sheish makilim, now that you found out, there are some kulos, of course I'm going to jump on the kula bandwagon, roads a lot where you want to change your mind, and you want to follow the more lenient opinions, in that case, he says maybe you have to do Ataras Nadarim. Now, again, Ataras Nadarim is not the most difficult thing to do, but he feels that you would have to do Ataras Nadarim if you accepted upon yourself Maser Ksofim at some point. You did it a number of times, including your household expenses in what you're doing, and now you want to be more Mekel, then he feels you need a Ataras Nadarim. This is going to be different than the case which we discussed a couple of weeks ago, where you didn't realize the Maser Ksofim might be a minug in the first place. Meaning we discussed at the time that if you thought it was a chigum, and then you realized that most poskim hold that it's only a minug, so then in that case you can sort of re-accept it upon yourself with the assumption that it's a minug, and therefore you can put certain limitations, which we'll discuss more in a couple minutes, on Maser Ksofim. If at the time that you did that you re-accepted it upon yourself as a minug specifically, you also had in mind that your household expenses would be deducted, the Tzitz Eliezer presumably would say in that case that is valid, and you do not need Hataras Nadarim for that situation. Okay, let me just summarize this again.
Does the Darim include taking money back from an account that you have?
No, probably not. Once it's already set, you can't do that. Probably once it's already set outside, normally speaking, in most cases, you can't do that. Again, there might be exceptions, but normally you can't do that.
If you realize you need it.
If you're stuck and you have no money, then already that's a different story.
You're allowed to give tzedakah for yourself.
Correct. I'm talking about a case where you don't, meaning, yes, you need the money for yourself, but you have enough money to live. If you really don't have enough money to live in Enochanami, I think you would agree that you should use the master for yourself. You would be considered to be an Ani. So bottom line here, the Tzitz Eliezer definitely thinks there's room to be made to follow the opinion of deducting household expenses. Most poskim do not hold that way, as we mentioned last time. There are one or two other opinions that I found in the Shevet HaLevi, or Vosner, also in one of his Tshuva, which we'll see a different part of it later tonight or next week. He also wants to say, and I think it's a comment on the side, in one of the editions of the Shevet HaLevi, on the side, they have like little comments from the editor, or from the Shevet HaLevi himself, maybe, on the side, that he sort of editions that he wrote afterwards. So he mentions that he quotes his machlokas as well, and he says that l'chachili you should be machmer, but he says, if somebody is you know, in hard times or he doesn't have so much money, then there is room, according to him as well, to follow this opinion. So bottom line, if you ask me, again, I'm not going to give an absolute psak here, but I would basically say that obviously this is a very individual question. L'chachila, anybody that you know makes enough money to not have to, Baruch Hashem, to not have to worry about this question, definitely should be machmir and include in their maser calculations all their household expenses. But anybody that is, you know, is much more mitzumtum in terms of the amount of money that they're making, and if you include your household expenses, you won't end up with very much less, or you'll end up in the negative. Absolutely, in those cases, there's absolutely room, and maybe even recommended, l'chachila, to follow some version of Waldenberg's approach. And there are other ways of viewing this as well, in terms of how much money you spend on other things in your, you know, in your day-to-day living. But in general, I'd say that the approach that he has of cutting out, deducting all of your regular household expenses is absolutely, that is a general direction which is absolutely recommended to follow if you're in a situation where you feel that it's, you know, it's too much to be giving maser on all of your money and you don't have very much left. Absolutely, in that case, there's room to follow Rav Waldenberg. Mm-hmm. And again, I think that's true for many of us and, you know, many people in Eretz Yisrael. I think this is absolutely a very, very, maybe more than we'd like, a relevant shita which we should take into account seriously.
I'm a little confused. When you say
okay.
When it's deductible,
yeah.
Let's say you earn $10 shekel a month.
Yeah.
When you say deductible, when you take your house expenses, it says $2,000 shekel a month. You get
right.
Eight. You give a mass on the eight.
Yeah.
So that's
yeah.
So that's normally when you don't have money, you should do that.
What do you mean when you don't have money?
I'm saying you're obviously taking the deductible on less amount. You don't take your deductibles, and you got to pay mass on more.
Right. Correct.
So I thought I was following you by saying that if somebody should be machmir,
yeah.
Who earns all the money should. You're saying
take maser including from the money that
without
he's
deducting the household expenses.
Without deducting.
Yeah.
I thought you were saying
double negative.
No. Meaning that you should include your household expenses in your amount of money that you're paying maser from. And if you make $10,000, if you look at the sheet here, so go back to the worksheet. Your example here is you make $10,000. Okay. $10,000. All of your deductions that your household expenses, let's say would be $4,000. So the halacha, according to the majority opinion, is that you do not deduct those $4,000 and you take maser from your $10,000. The minority opinion of Waldenberg, and when you're stuck, is that you can cut off your $4,000 and take maser from your $6,000. Okay.
Right. So machmir is always you don't deduct.
Correct. Machmir means you don't deduct. Yeah. Okay. Very good. That's the end of the section on deductions. Let's move into the third section, which we will start tonight. I don't think we're going to finish tonight. So I guess, God willing, that means there will be one more installment of the Matzer Ksufim series. I hope you've been enjoying it as much as I have. I guess I'll find out next week if nobody comes back. What'd you say?
We'll have another next week.
Say again?
We have to have another next week.
Okay. Even after, maybe we can have more. At least for next week, right?
No problem.
Okay.
But I heard the final was here.
Yes, that's what we thought originally, but it was already.
I'm just the middleman.
Okay. Right.
It was
final, assuming that we finished the material for tonight. But given that it's not finished, we decided for the last year we rushed through a lot of material. We decided this year not to rush, and we'll take our time and we'll take our time finishing it. Okay. Category number three. What types of causes can you give maser money to? Okay, fine. You've taken your maser money off. You have your, you know, $1,000 or however much money you're giving your maser money to. In the worksheet here, I think we put down is 600. Okay. Okay. They basically took out the deductions of 4,000 for deductions that are allowed, whatever they might be. You're left basically with 6,000 to get your maser from. So you're basically taking 600, whatever it is from that for maser. The question is, what can you use your maser money for? So there's a lot of interesting things that are included in this topic of discussion. We will discuss as many of them as I think are relevant. Again, as long as it takes to get through them, I guess we'll find that based on your questions. Let's start with the following. Okay, and I'll tell you what we're going to get to, but at the end of this year, I'll tell you the things we didn't get to, and we'll talk about, you know, so you'll know what will be coming next week. For now, let's start with the with questions of mitzvah. Okay, can you use maser money for mitzvah purposes? So this is a major issue.
Buying an etron we're talking about, or buying a better etron?
Good, excellent question. So you already got to my point here. Good lumbus. Let's start with the following question. Okay, let's start with the mitzvah chiyuvah, something which is absolutely obligatory. Okay, base question. Okay, can you use maser money when you buy an esrog? Can you use maser money when you buy your chanukiah or your matzah for Pesach? Okay, that's the basic question here. The halacha And now let's move into source sheet number two, I think.
I think we could turn into oneself or submit to the...
For now, we're going to talk about yourself. For now, we'll talk about yourself. Okay. So now, for those of you who have master sheet number two, does anybody else need... Okay, I don't have one. But, okay, I only have one copy here, I'm sorry. I guess I'll have to share. If we need to make more copies later for next week, God willing, next week I'll be able to make a few more copies myself. Okay. Okay, so if somebody wants to lend, whatever you want. If somebody else wants to give it to Aton to bring upstairs.
You're a writer, guy.
Okay, whatever you want. I need mine to do it now.
Write it up.
Okay. So take a look at source number one here. This is the Rama in Yoredeh Reish Mem Tes. He says, "Ve'ein lasos mi maser shelo dvar mitzvah." You should not use your maser money for doing a dvar mitzvah. Kigon neiros lovis haknesses o shar dvar mitzvah, such as candles in the shul. In that case, we'll get back to in a little bit. Or any other type of mitzvah, rakid nenelani. You should give it to the poor people. So the Rama says basically here that you are not allowed to use your money for a dvar mitzvah. The way this is understood by most poskim is that this definitely includes mitzvah chiyuvos, meaning obligatory mitzvahs that you absolutely are obligated to do by the Torah. You cannot use your master money for the klal gadol here. This is a klal gadol in general for talking about using master money for. Everything we'll talk about is that anything which you are obligated to do is called a davar shabachova. Okay, anything which is obligatory for you, you are not allowed to pay maaser money for. Okay, maaser money is tzedakah. Tzedakah means you think something that you're giving of your own accord. Okay, there's a mitzvah of tzedakah in the Torah to give money to people that that need it as a mitzvah of tzedakah. Okay, that does not include using something which you are already obligated to do for yourself. Or maybe even for others in that maaser. So therefore, based on that, you cannot use your maaser money for a mitzvah. That's pretty clear. So that's well. That part we'll get to. That part we'll get to that in a minute.
Shul dues essentially. Would
so we'll get there, but I don't think we'll get there tonight. You're gonna have to wait. We'll wait till next week. I'm sorry. for now, that's for mitzvah chiyuvos. Let me mention one other important point when it comes to maaser, and that is. This also sort of colors the whole discussion here. Generally speaking, because this is the way that many understand it, because maaser today we accept that maaser is a minhag, okay? Because most poskim accept that it's a minhag, so generally speaking, that allows us to use maaser money for a wide range of causes, okay? Again, not necessarily mitzvah here, but you know, things that are not only necessarily for poor people specifically. You give some to the poor. You give some to, you know, let's say Torah institutions or yeshivas. You'll give some to, you know, to your shul, which we'll talk about a little later. But definitely, you know, a voluntary contribution to your shul is absolutely included in maaser. Some to the mikvah. Some to other types of Jewish institutions. You know, kiruv, other kinds of things like that. Those things are all included in the wide umbrella of maaser, according to how the minhag Yisrael is today. And this I heard from Rabbi Willig, and I know most poskim agree with that as well. Anything which is included in the, you know, generally speaking, furthering Jewish causes. Is generally included in maaser because of the fact that maaser is a minhag. What you should do though is when you accept upon yourself the minhag of maaser k'safim, or when you re-accept it upon yourself, you know, when you realize that it was a minhag and not a halacha, you should have in mind that your maaser is going to be given not only to poor people but also to all these other causes as well. Okay, that's an important point that you should have in mind when you, you know, re-accept or accept maaser in this form. Also, be aware that that the Chavetz Chaim and many others also said that one of the main purposes for maaser is to give it to Torah, to Torah study. So, in addition to give it to poor people, you should try to give at least some of your maaser money to Torah institutions of some form. Again, there could be different options of where that would go, but absolutely to the hachzaka, to the strengthening of the learning of Torah, is another very, very important recipient, or should be an important recipient of your of maaser funds. Okay, again, that's just a sort of an overall. Overall perspective on maaser. Let's go back into the mitzvah. So in terms of the mitzvah, we mentioned mitzvah chiyuvos you cannot give because you're a mechuyav to give it anyway. The Taz in source number two sort of expands on that as well and says once you say that you can't use it for a mitzvah, he says kol shekein lifra b'hem misim to aser. Certainly you cannot pay taxes with your maaser money. Afal gav the isim perakam the baba maaser. Even though it says in the Gemara, shafi lamasha am haaretz. Sorry, sheinu she umos haolam notlin bizur nachshav letzdaka. Even though it says that if a non-Jew takes money forcibly from you, that counts as tzedaka. Mikol makom mikri zeh poreach chova minat tzedaka. That's called paying your obligations with tzedakah, and that cannot be included in your maaser. Okay, maybe you fulfilled some sort of mitzvah of tzedakah in some form, but basically the Taz is saying that any type of tax which you're obligated to give anyway, you cannot use that as your, you cannot count that as your maaser. Same points here. Again, taxes in Israel we'll talk about probably next week. The idea of using your maaser money for things which are obligatory to pay, that is not allowed. Okay, that's pretty clear. Now, what about
paying
a
mortgage?
Say again.
Paying a mortgage and the rent.
You're right. In Echonami. The only reason why Rav Waldenberg might have said that maybe that's not included is because it's a household expense. So there, what he's saying is not that you can use maaser money to pay your mortgage. What he means to say is that you can deduct the amount that you pay for your mortgage from the calculation of what you're paying maaser from.
So will the tax be the same thing?
Second?
Will tax be the same thing, deducted from your thing and then paying maaser?
So that's what we discussed. That basically, anything that they deduct for you is already deducted. Again, you can't pay your taxes with maaser. No. That's the distinction. You cannot use maaser money to pay your taxes. Okay?
Oh, okay.
But you can deduct certain kinds of taxes, and again, we discussed the details. Some of it may have been when you were not here, so
okay.
I have to go with that separately.
But you pay the taxes with your maaser money if you need the money yourself. Everything you clean, and then you need to pay tax, and you have no money left.
Yeah, correct. That goes back to the basic question, which we'll see later on in this discussion as well about paying maaser money. That again, if you do not make enough money to pay maaser and still have enough money for your own basic needs, then you are not chayav in maaser. That we discussed already,
way back when,
a number of weeks ago. But that still holds true here as well. If you don't have enough money for your own regular expenses to pay, then even though we say you cannot use your tax money for maaser credit, what that means is that you're going to take whatever maaser money you have, or not take maaser in the first place, and you're punted from the whole thing. Okay, good. All right, what do we do in the cases of what we call a mitzvah she'ena mechuyavet or a hidur mitzvah? Let's start with hidur mitzvah, and we'll go backwards. When it comes to a hidur mitzvah, so this was David's question before. Okay, let's say that you have a very, very basic esrog. Okay, a nice esrog, 50 shekel, whatever it is. Okay, it's kosher. It was checked, absolutely kosher. But then you see a really nice one, which is 80 shekel. Okay, or it's part of your mahavim package that you get. It was 80 shekel. Okay, can you use your maaser money to pay the extra for that type of hidur mitzvah? So number one going in here is that we're already assuming that you made a kabbalah when you accepted maaser, that you're including these types of ideas in your maaser. That it's not a specific maaser for poor people, but you've done a general acceptance of giving maaser to any types of causes, as you mentioned before. If that's done, so then we have a machlokas here. Okay, some posts can say that you absolutely can use hidur mitzvah money. You can use maaser money for hidur mitzvah because you're not obligated to do that. It's nice. It's nice to do it. It's extra, but it's not obligatory, and therefore you can. Other posts can say no, because there's a Gemara that seems to say that up till a third is something which you can, at least up till a third, you should pay from yourself for hidur mitzvah, and more than that, maybe Hashem will pay you back for it. That already we could talk about, but at least a third money more than the basic amount that you would have had to pay to fulfill the basic mitzvah, according to the second opinion, that cannot be included in maaser kesafim. Taking that money from maaser money. Again, this is going to be a question which does not have an absolute hachra here. Because maaser is a minog, I think there's room to be makil here if you need to.
But the other thing that Papa said, can it be?
So that's, unfortunately, I don't remember. I think some people say that maybe over a third, maybe you can. But again, that was based on a Gemara of a Kama, so I'll have to check that again.
Is this talking about somebody who can afford?
I'll have to check that again. Say again?
Is this talking about somebody who can afford or can't afford to do the mitzvah? And what is the machshava? What is the source for saying that you can take maaser money for to buy mitzvah, to buy an Israel? They say the
you can't. You're not allowed to.
I'm talking about
so that you can't. That's not allowed. That's what we said from the Ramah.
You can't as well.
Correct.
So what's the cover former? You couldn't take an upgrade either.
That's right. It's the opposite of what would be logical.
Right.
Because you would think, according to David's question, that You might be able to use your maaser money to buy the esrog if you can't afford it anyway, but you shouldn't be able to use it to get a better one.
So again, let's review.
You can use it to get a better one.
Okay, so let's review. If you don't have enough money to pay for an esrog, you are putter for maaser. Okay, you are not obligated to give maaser in the first place. Okay, again, this I apologize because this is taken. We've been doing this as a series, so we mentioned this already a month ago. We discussed the sources inside. I said, if you don't have enough money for Parnassus Atzmo, that you have your basic, your normal expenses to live where you live, if you don't have enough money to pay those basic things, then you're putter for maaser. You don't have to give maaser at all. Or, according to some opinions, it means you set aside maaser and then use it for yourself. But whatever, in either of those two options, you're not liable to pay master to anybody else in a case where you do not have enough money for regular expenses throughout the year. Okay? That's the basic rule here. All cases we're talking about are assuming that you make enough money to be chayv and maser in some form. At the very least, let's say without your house, if you cut out your household expenses, meaning you follow the lenient opinion from before and you deduct your household expenses, and you make enough money to be basically chayv and maser and have a little bit left for yourself. In that case, then we're saying that you cannot use maser money to use for a mitzvah. But for a hidr mitzvah, which is above and beyond, it's not obligatory. Therefore, we say that maybe there's a possibility that you can.
What? I don't understand that. It doesn't make sense to me.
Why?
Because why not for the mitzvah then? Why not for the original mitzvah?
No, so again, the mitzvah itself is a chiyuv. You are obligated to own it, to shake it, to own an esrog, at least on the first day, and you are obligated to shake an esrog. It's a mitzvah. In order to do that mitzvah, you have to buy an esrog. Maybe you can borrow, at least for the second day, but you know, certainly not for the first day. Mm-hmm. Any mitzvah which is a chiyuv, a mitzvah chiyuv, is obligatory on you. You cannot use maser money to pay for something which you have to do anyway. Understand? Maser has to be something which is
basically
used for above
God
and beyond.
God gave you 10,000 shekels, let's say, after expenses.
Yeah.
He expects you to give back 1,000 shekels plus the esrog.
Understand that.
That's his expectation.
How do you justify the
Hebrew? So the effort is 50 shekels. So you owe 1,050 shekels. No,
that's
not true. You owe 1,050 shekels.
That's the basic.
We should know what to do.
How
do
you
run and soul behind you? Are you getting it because you want to get the most? Have you been referring the most wonderful?
I've got an interesting halacha for the redistributor for the master.
Because you want to do the mitzvah
My gut is that Hashem's eyes, he would look upon it more favorably to give up for you to upgrade and give it to somebody so they could buy the food.
Good point. Let's get ourselves back on the same page here. Okay, one more comment, and then I'll try to put it together. There's two sides here.
There's a mitzvah, Erev Yom Tov, to buy jewelry for your wife. It's a mitzvah in the Shulchan Aruch. I can buy her the cheapest. I can buy her. To be honest of the mitzvah, I can buy the cheapest small ring, whatever, for 20 shekels, and Yotze. I buy a plastic ring, and Yotze. Or I got my account with $10,000 of maser money, I'm going to buy her a beautiful diamond necklace. It's much more than an extra piece. It's maser money, it's a hidur mitzvah, and that's it. I can buy maser.
I hear what you're saying. I cannot say that I saw that case discussed in the literature on maser. I'll have to look a little more carefully. It makes sense that, you know, it stands to reason that if you would indeed accept that halacha based on the Gemara, that there is some sort of mitzvah of buying your wife jewelry before Yom Tov, and you go above and beyond and you buy your work. Say, yeah.
You're putting yourself in trouble, by the way.
Say again?
You're putting yourself in trouble because you're not going to buy a $10,000 ring.
I'm just an example for her.
Right. It's a good
By the way,
point.
This isn't recorded.
We'll see who listens to this a little different time.
My wife sells beautiful jewelry.
All right, we'll send her
a message. Why do you have a pausing? I
don't know why.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago, there's a class from Heritage, Kashkuman, Atlanta, Georgia, and everything. You cannot have a set of houses in joint custody. By halachic standards, that house is yours. Anything your wife has, by halacha, as I understand it, is yours. So you have given yourself a present. I don't know that I would.
Okay, that is not so clear, and I'm not sure if he would say that it's true in this case either. This is not for now.
Begadisha.
Okay, there's a major question to begin with today. Bisman is that whether the financial arrangements today that most people have are halachically valid or not. It's a major discussion. According to the strict halacha, you're correct that it would seem to be that it's not, but there are poskim today that disagree, that say that things today are different. For references, I have an article from Red Jaster in one of his books that I have at home that discusses this whole piece on it with lots of sources. Very, very interesting. It's a discussion. And even according to the halacha, there are certain things that belong to the wife, very specific things that she has on her. That might belong to her and not to you. So it's a discussion, meaning you're correct. It's an issue. At the end of the day, I hear your point. It does stand to reason that maybe you could use master money for that, but I cannot say I've seen it discussed, so I cannot tell you 100%. I hear this far. I'll lean at her. I'll see if I find anything else on it. The other point here, so Eric's point, it's definitely true. I saw one of the Sfarim, I forgot who says this, but somebody does say that Hashem would like nothing better than the fact that if you wanted to do a hijra mitzvah, you wanted to pay more money for an esrog, and in the end you decided to give it to a poor person, you know, that would be wonderful. Hashem would be thrilled if you did that. The sefer that said that, I forgot which one it was, but he said that that was specifically true if the ani is standing in front of you at that very moment. If he's not in front of you at that very moment, I don't know if he would necessarily say that. The reason why this is an issue is because there is a mitzvah of hidur mitzvah. Okay, Zekhil Yivanei was explicitly said by the Gemara as there is an idea of a hidur mitzvah. The question is that part of Chakir is about this? Is that part of the mitzvah that you're doing? Is it a separate mitzvah of hidur mitzvah? That's a whole discussion, and that might have something to do with this machlokas here about hidur mitzvah taking from maser or not. That we're not going to go into any more detail about that for now. But the bottom line is that it's a machlokas whether hidur mitzvah is included. Can you use maser money for hidur mitzvah? There probably is room because maser is a minhag. There's probably room to be makil if you need. Okay, let's go on. One last point. Yeah.
What is the source for that?
For which point?
We can use maser for a hidur mitzvah.
Again, so you want the shitas? You probably haven't heard of them, but the Imre Yosher, the Meir Arik. So he's the one who says that you can use maser money for a hidur mitzvah. The Ameishiv Dara, the Netziv, and the Maram Shik are the ones that say that you cannot. Rabbi Taub, in his book over here, he quotes it on page 156. He mentions that machlokas. My other sefer here about maser k'safim in Hebrew also quotes it, but I don't remember offhand where it is. I'll look it up afterwards. Okay. Next point. Mitzvah she'enu mechuyeves. Can you use maser money for a mitzvah which is not an obligatory mitzvah? Okay. What are we talking about here? So this is a good example. Let's say things that are, you know, let's say you want to buy yourself an aliyah. Okay. Auction off aliyahs. Let's say you have some chas Torah time. Or you want to buy yourself some other kavod, you know, for the shul. You know, atza haresa. Whatever it is. Any of these kinds of things that are, you know, mishaberach, whatever it is. These kinds of things, which are a mitzvah, the example they also bring in the poskim is not so relevant today, but apparently they used to auction off, or they used to, you know, sell off the honor of being a samnik at a bris. So people would pay good money to be a samnik at a bris. I don't know, the people that I speak to are all scared to do it. I don't know. they only do it if they have to, but it's a big kavod, and there are people, you know, it used to be that they would pay money for that type of honor. That's also a mitzvah. So the question is, that type of mitzvah, which is not an obligation, is that something which you can use maser money for? That's also the case, perhaps, of the Neiros, the Beis HaKnesses, for giving money to the shul that's going to go for a mitzvah purpose in the shul. That's also a question that's included in here. This is a major, major machlokas. Okay, a very, very major machlokas. The Taz, we're not going to go through this whole thing now, but the Taz in source number 2, discusses this among other sources. He says in the fourth line there, he says, "L'inyan liknos mitzvos beis haknesses b'mos maser, to buy mitzvos in the shul with maser money. Nearly the mishas knias hamitzvos yadatu al zeh, that when you buy the mitzvah, you have in mind that you're going to use it for maser money. Shari, it's permitted to halah hamos letzedaka also, because it goes for tzedaka. V'avshu nena maser mechaved likros acherim, even though you get benefit from that, I mean, you get hanah from the fact they called you up for chasen Torah, let's say, or chasen brachos with your money. Ein zeh iser, it's still not aser. Shari, b'chol maser yish tovas hanah l'balam, because every time you give tzedaka, you get some sort of